Jesus, of course, was the master of the parable.
Do I have that on? There we go.
And of course, in many ways, it's important to look at who he was talking to when he addresses his parables. Now, we know that this parable of the two sons travels through the centuries to us, and we can probably identify either as the father or as one of the two sons, maybe both of them at different stages in our life. I can remember more defiant times when I would be the son that, no, I won't. But then you think, well, I don't want Dad to have to do all of it. I'll help out after all. So begrudgingly, but you get the task done that was requested. And I have probably been cavalier enough at a different stage of my life where I would say, yes, I will, even though already I'm thinking, well, you know, between here and the vineyard, I'll find something else I'm going to do. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus wants us clearly to understand that we're to be followers of his in more than just word, but in action. The particular parable here is addressed to the chief priests and the elders. And I think it puts a beautiful example, and we see it so often in the scripture, of course, of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It says when Jesus gives his parable to them, and they admit that it was the first who actually did what his father requested, Jesus says to them, these who are considered first among the religious elite in Israel, the chief priests and elders, to those first, he reminds them about the last. He says, amen, I say to you, public sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. And then he takes the example of his kinfolk, John the Baptist. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even here, when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him. Because they were so caught up in their status and how they were looked upon, how they were there to answer people's questions, they'd stop learning, they'd stop growing, and they certainly were not followers of Jesus, nor before him of John. But it's a good way for us to encounter, as we do so often in Scripture, that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Jesus didn't have a lot of patience with the elders and the chief priests, with those in authority. But he felt a great forgiving love for those who were turning away from sin and wanting to correct their life. That passage to the Philippians captures this whole first shall be last shall be first thing so beautifully. He reminds us, we who follow Jesus, do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. And we know how hard that is. We know that our instinct is to be more selfish, more self-centered, and to be selfless, to be looking out after the interests of others more than us. But that's how we follow in the Savior's footsteps, isn't it? And he goes on to bring the one that we honor, rightfully so, as the first forever, the King of the universe. And he speaks of the fact that Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he was divine, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself of his divinity, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, found human in appearance, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And we look at the journey of Jesus from stable to cross, and we recognize the humble experiences of his life, the greatest human being that ever walked this earth, the one whose sacrifice rose above any other. And you recognize why it is that God has elevated him to the highest status. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that's really, I think, our message. Yes, we want to be people that not only say yes, but do what it is that we commit to. And we want to be people, if we've said no, to change our mind and make it a yes in terms of our action. But we mainly want to do it with Jesus as our example. We want to do it in humility and selflessness. We want to regard others as important or more important than ourselves. And then we're able to confidently, as followers of Jesus, declare for him that he is indeed the King of the universe and the one that is the Lord, the glory of God the Father.